Hi, this is Jim Armstrong. Welcome to today's topic, which is on the secrets of super profitable target farming. What I'm going to do is take the first part of the call, just go over some of the basics. It's not too complicated, but there are some details in here that can help spell the difference between success or failure in this kind of a an approach. One of the things that differs in this kind of marketing than other typical types of advertising that you see is most advertising is a mile wide and an inch deep. You know, and that's because most flooring dealers and most small businesses in general try and copy corporate type advertising, the Madison Avenue, get your image out there, get your name out there, brand name building kind of an approach. And this is completely different than that. What will happen typically is as a flooring dealer, or any small business for that matter, will say, okay, I've got, you know, $5,000 to spend on a campaign, and that's my budget. So they'll figure out if they're going to say do direct mail, figure out, okay, what's the maximum number of homes that I can hit or leads that I can hit for $5,000, and they hit it one time, and several bad things happen with that kind of approach. For the number one bad thing is it tends to be not very profitable. The other bad decisions that get made are, okay, I want to maximize the number of targets I'm going to hit, therefore I'm going to cut down the cost of my mailing by doing things like sending just postcards, and I'm going to use bulk rate. And so the whole thing becomes, you know, how can I hit the most targets for this finite amount of money? And they hit them one time and then wonder why the approach is so unprofitable, so hit and miss. The target farming takes a completely different approach, and this is actually borrowed from the real estate industry. And, you know, always remember that if you don't borrow from outside of your industry, you're doomed to copy those within it. I've done this type of target farming in multiple businesses, not just in the, you know, real estate mortgage, but also other businesses. Some of the examples you're going to hear, you know, we'll get into that. But the basic idea is you are going to establish yourself within a certain niche or group or farm and become the first flooring dealer that people think of when the subject of flooring comes up. And you're going to do it not with image type of advertising where you just get your name out there. You're going to actually do direct response types of approaches that get people to call you, run to the phone and call you immediately. And as we move through this, what you're going to notice is a lot of similarities between this kind of a farm and setting up your Connect campaign and your farm with your past clients. And the reason that they look the same or look very similar is because your past clients are a farm. That's one of the analogies we use, as well as a herd. And the first farm that you want to set up is your past client farm. So I need to preface everything we're going to say today by, if you don't have your past client farm set up, put the target farming on the back burner and do it next, because your most profitable farm, hands down, is always going to be your past clients. But this is assuming you've got your past client farm up and running, you've finished your Connect campaign, you're working that, you've got your referral program in place. Okay, so now you want to take some of your marketing budget and reach some new targets. Well, the target farming is a great way to go. Basically, they work just like agricultural farms. You have to plant the seeds, water and cultivate them, then reap the harvest. And it's not a one-shot deal, like I said before. It takes time and patience, but it can mean huge results. Flooring is a big-ticket item, and you can, in any group of people that you're marketing to, there's a chance that, a very good chance that the majority of the people in that farm just don't happen to need your services right this minute. In that regard, it's very similar to the real estate industry, where you've got realtors who are, I mean, the biggest ticket item that you can, you know, in a person's life is buying a house. So it's very, very difficult to get somebody to just create an interest where, okay, they weren't even thinking about buying a house, but now that you've sent them a special or an offer or something like that, hey, why don't we go ahead and buy a house or sell our house? The decisions in that kind of a big ticket item aren't really made in that way. There's other factors. So what the realtor's goal is to establish a farm where they are the realtor in that farm. They are the person that everybody thinks of, everybody knows, develop that relationship with those, with that farm. And in that regard, it can be very, very, it's a very, very useful approach for the flooring industry, because flooring, even though it's not, of course, a big ticket item like a home, it still is one of the largest purchases people will make as far as their interior decor. There are things you can do to induce people to want to buy. Perhaps they weren't quite thinking of flooring right now, but you have some kind of an offer, or you have something compelling that induces them to buy. So you do have some more options than a realtor would have, but the crossover is really applicable. Now, the five steps that you're going to take when planning a farm are: one, determine what kind of farm. Two, you're going to determine the size of your farm. Three, plant the seeds. Four, water and cultivate the seeds. And five, reap the harvest. And let's break these down. The first thing you're going to do is determine the kind of farm, who you're going to market to. Basically, it's your ideal client. You have to have a clear-cut idea of who is it that I'm going after. What kind of client do I want? Target farming is not about spreading your name all over creation and hoping somebody, you know, you get some clients that way. It's about selecting. You have the power to select the client that you want, and you go after them and magnetically attract the client that fits your criteria. You know, and a very obvious one is, of course, you know, upper middle to high end types of clients, because they're going to spend the most money with you, and they tend to be less price sensitive and more quality oriented. Of course, there's many other ways to identify who your ideal client would be, but that would be an obvious one. Several types of farms. Your geographic farm is where you would select a certain neighborhood that meets your criteria for the ideal client. I've done that a lot. You know, your upper middle to upper end type neighborhoods. Demographic farms are, of course, your income range, age, gender, number of children, credit worthiness, and so forth. In other words, the demographics that meet your ideal client. And then there's profession-specific farms. You know, you might go after just doctors or just attorneys or just nurses or dentists or what have you. And in going after profession-specific farms, I'm going to kind of digress for a moment here. If you, let's say that you've got a physician or doctor that is just a raving fan client. Well, you can get a testimonial from the doctor and then do targeted mailings to all the doctors in your area, all the doctors and nurses, anybody in the health profession, but especially the doctors, and you can target them using that testimonial and become the flooring dealer that specializes in doctors. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't also specialize in financial planners or specialize in new construction or, you know, any of a dozen other things. You can specialize in niche target farm in multiple categories. But when you target going back to the example of the doctor, you can speak directly to them and talk about their specific needs, their scheduling requirements, the things that would make you of more value to a doctor and speak their language. The ultimate is to have the doctor who is your raving fan actually write a letter, and you write the letter and have him sign it, where it says something like, "Dear colleague, you know, as doctors we are very busy, and you know, we want quality, and our time is of the utmost value, and that's why I just had to tell you about, you know, XYZ flooring." And if you go into the joint ventures module, you can see some examples of that. At any rate, going back to the farms, once you determine the kind of farm that you're going to go after, then you're going to determine the size of your farm. And again, most marketing is hit and run, you know, one mailing and then maybe 6 months later another mailing when the dealer manages to scrape together enough money to do another mailing. What you're going to do is make a commitment to that farm to communicate with them every month. So the size of your farm is really going to be a function of your budget. So if you've got $1,200 a month as part of your farming budget, and that's, by the way, it should be above and beyond the budget you have set aside to market to your past clients and do your referral and joint ventures, but you have that much money set aside, and let's say it costs you about $1 a month to communicate with each of the contacts, well, then you're going to have a farm of about 1,200 contacts. You're not going to make it bigger than that, because otherwise you're going to spread your marketing too thin. So again, it's a budget consideration. Third thing is you're going to plant the seeds, and you're going to notice that the Connect campaign in Module 2 of the Rapid Launch is a seed planting strategy. It plants the seeds with your previous clients, and those letters, what we've done is taken the same approach and tweaked it to essentially connect you with a new farm. Same approach. Then you're going to water and cultivate the seeds. That's step four. And again, if you look at it in terms of your past clients, Module 3 of the Rapid Launch is all about, you know, building and maintaining a herd, which is a water and cultivate strategy. Okay, so the two are just direct parallels. And a good way to nurture your farm once you do have it set up is with the monthly home advisor. It's already done. It's ready to go. Send it out to your farm after you do the Connect campaign. No reason you can't do that. Also sending them periodic mailings of other kinds, special offers or communications specifically for that farm. Absolutely no reason you can't do that. And then five, of course, reap the harvest. Now, when you get somebody from your farm, getting that new client from a cold farm is going to be more expensive than getting them from your past clients, because these are people who don't know you, like you, and trust you yet. They are new. Therefore, it's critical that you have your referral reward program in place and your past client herd building program in place, because otherwise you're going to spend all this time, energy, and money on a cold farm, have the client come in, you're not going to reap the rewards of the referrals, and they're not going to get plugged into anything, and all you're going to get is what you make on the front end, and that's just a terribly expensive way to go. However, if you've got that referral program in place, you can average, by using the referral program the way it's outlined in the Rapid Launch, you can generate on average 5 to 7 referrals from every job. You know, you get so many dozen referrals per month, a certain percentage of those are going to turn into immediate jobs, and the others that don't turn into immediate jobs, you're going to farm those for their business over the next, you know, 6 to 24 months. So be sure you have that in place before you go out and start doing cold farming. Okay, so let's look at putting all this together in a farm. what we're going to be looking at, and the example that is in here is of a geographic, actually it's when I say geographic and demographic farm, it really is a combination of the two, because let's say that you're targeting an upper end subdivision. Well, that's a geographic farm, but you're also adding the demographic element of these are people who are of the income range that you want for your client. So you pick an upper end subdivision with a high percentage of people who are your ideal client. Next step is you're going to determine the size of your farm. So if your farm budget is $500 a month, you're going to select an area within that subdivision that covers approximately 500 homes, and you're only going to hit those. Next thing you're going to do is send a tweaked version of the three-step connect letter, and that's planting the seeds, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. Then you're going to water and cultivate the seeds. So you're going to send them the home advisor every month, hand-delivered sometimes or mailed to them, and then you're going to, of course, reap the harvest. Now, another way to further cultivate that farm is each time that you get a client in that farm area, send out a letter or a postcard with their testimonial to everybody in that farm. And use a headline, you know, with something like, how your neighbor, Mrs. Johnson, on 1234 Jones Street just got the flooring of her dreams. And then have a special offer for neighbors of Mrs. Johnson only, so forth. And, you know, that this technique can be used for geographic, demographic farms, profession-specific farms, etc. But again, today we're going to focus on the geographic farming. Okay, some additional things to keep in mind as you are doing the farming is you want to commit to evaluating the success of the farm over a 6 to 12 month period. Like I said before, flooring's a big ticket item, and there is a good chance, especially if you've got a small farm, that there might not be very many people in that farm on any given month who happen to need flooring right then. So track it over the course of the year and just make sure that you're doing more, your bottom line, you're making more off of that farm than you're spending. As long as you're doing that, then the farm should be considered successful, because what you're also going to be doing is everybody that you get from that farm, you're going to, of course, plug into your referral program and your past client farming. Again, gaining a new client through cold marketing is one of the most expensive investments you'll ever make, so just make sure that you've got all of that set up for maintaining your herd and getting those referrals. You know, one of the things that I've talked about is by doing the referral rewards program, and you're averaging that 5 to 7 referrals on each job, some of those people will need flooring immediately, like I said. But some of those clients who don't need flooring, you're actually going to be creating a farm with them. These are third-party endorsed referrals that you're getting. So if, let's say, on a given month you get 50 referrals, only 2 of them need flooring right then, the other 48 are going to go into this farm of third-party endorsed referrals. Again, that's another farm that you're establishing and building. And, you know, again, finally, your herd of past clients is going to be always your most successful and most productive farm. Right now, I'm on page 6 of the manual, if you want to go there. The big exception, and this is where I like to talk about letting the farm go fallow. This gets a little bit more complicated. I almost left this section out, but there's some thoughts that you need to keep in mind as you go into target farming. Everybody on this call and listening to this recording later lives in different parts of the country. They have different unique market areas. So testing becomes a critical portion of doing any farming. You want to absolutely track your results as you test these. Sometimes a farm will be very productive and then peter out after a while. And what I have done to, so I'm not spending an inordinate amount of money on a farm, but I still want to stay in touch with them, is what I'll do, what I have done, is have several farms rotating, and the example would be, you do a Connect campaign to, let's say you've got a farm of 500 homes. So you do a Connect campaign to that farm, the three-step campaign. You hit them hard for, 6 to 8 weeks to 10 weeks. Then you back off, and all you do is send them maybe a postcard every month or maybe every other month, just kind of staying in touch with them. And postcards are dirt cheap. And, sending them things like the testimonial drip campaign and other things like that. Then rotate back, pick a second farm and do the same thing. And then once you've done the initial campaign, switch to postcards. And then pick a third farm and do the same thing with that. So in how many farms you rotate is really, again, a function of your monthly budget. So if you've got, a certain budget that, the example here is $6,000, well, then that enables you to target 6,000 homes. Well, you can rotate those, 2,000 homes at a time and kind of rotate from one farm to the next, hitting one farm very aggressively and then kind of backing off, spending a whole lot less money on it, just dripping on them a little bit. Rotate through the farms and then come back to the original one and hit them again. I began a carpet cleaning company, carpet upholstery cleaning company, in 97 that I sold a few years later, and I used target farming extensively, especially in the beginning stages. I also, at the same time, had my herd building program in place, referral rewards, joint ventures, and a whole lot of things that I was doing. And I live in a small town that only has about 6 of the small to medium-sized neighborhoods that really fit my criteria for the kind of client that I wanted. And what I did is I treated each of these 6 neighborhoods as a separate farm. I'd hit one very aggressively with a 3-step letter and then allow it to go fallow while I rotated through the other farms. Where it was very effective doing it that way. At one point, 30% of my new clients were coming directly from these farms. Not 30% of my business, but 30% of the new business coming in. And for about 18 to 24 months, it worked great. It was very predictable. And then almost overnight, the farm stopped producing. And what really happened was I had completely exhausted. I hammered those farms so intensely for 2 years that I basically captured the kind of the cream of the crop of the clients in those areas who were willing to do business with me. And it got to the point where instead of making money on the farms, I was losing money each time I sent letters out. And so I stopped doing it, and that meant a 30% drop in the new clients. Well, thankfully, like I said before, I had a number of other marketing things in place, and basically that saved my bacon until I could replace that drop in clients. So the moral of that story is don't rely on just one marketing strategy for getting business. Sometimes a certain strategy will stop working. In certain marketing circles, fax broadcast was a huge deal several years back. And there were companies who based all of their new clients, getting their new business on broadcast fax. They had all of their eggs in the broadcast fax basket. Well, eventually, at one point, unsolicited broadcast faxing became illegal. So overnight, everybody who was depending on that to generate new business couldn't do it anymore, so they're in big trouble. So just be aware of that as you're doing the marketing strategies, and especially when you get one that works exceptionally well, don't rely on it 100%. Want to tell you a quick story about the $1 million chiropractor. I've told it before, but it really applies here, and it's worth repeating. He built up $1 million chiropractic business, sold it, built another one up, sold it. And he actually began to do seminars to help other chiropractors. And he would get approached all the time about a strategy to generate X number of clients. You know, an attendee approached him and said, hey, I need a strategy to get 50 new clients or 50 patients a month. And the million-dollar chiropractor said, well, I don't know a strategy that'll get you 50 new patients a month, but I know 50 strategies that'll get you a new patient a month, and I do all 50. And the moral to that story is that's the kind of thinking you need to apply in your business. And moral number two is, again, don't rely on just one marketing strategy. All right, let's go ahead and dig into the specifics of the geographic farming. I'm on page 8 of the manual right now. Again, it's a tweaked version of the three-step letter. Again, you're going to determine the kind of farm, and what we're doing here is upper, middle, end, and upscale neighborhoods. And again, determine the size of the farm, do the math, figure out how many homes you're going to target. You're going to plant the seeds, and that's going to be a 45-day campaign where you deliver letter number one. 2 weeks later, deliver letter number two. 2 weeks after that, deliver letter number three. And the delivery method that is we're going to talk about is doing hand-delivered letters. I've done this a lot. Very powerful. You're guaranteeing that 90% plus of your letters are going to get opened. It's more effective than door hangers or anything else, even though those are good, and I do believe in those. This kind of an approach guarantees that virtually all your letters are going to get opened. What you want to do is you want to take these letters, seal them in an unmarked white envelope, and again, you want to fold these so that the headline is showing. And I talk about that in the rapid launch on how to assemble these. You assemble them the same way, but you just seal them in an unmarked white envelope and leave them on people's doorsteps. They think it's a letter from their neighbor. And it's just a curiosity thing, gets them to open it. And I've hired kids from church. I've hired, you know, people that I knew to go out and deliver these things. And, you know, depending on where you live and so forth, you know, you can pay $25 to $30 a hundred to deliver and $5 to $8 per hundred to stuff and seal the envelopes. So for 30 to 38 cents a piece, you can get your letters stuffed and delivered, which is way less expensive than even a first-class stamp, and it's going to work better than actually mailing it to them. Now, again, for this to work, you want to be delivering to upper middle to upscale type neighborhoods where the houses are close enough together where they can be delivered in a timely manner. You know, if your houses are a quarter of a mile apart, this isn't really going to work very well. You're better off mailing to them. Now, after you do the Connect campaign, you're going to get some business off of that, so forth. You're going to water and cultivate that geographic farm. You can alternate mailing and hand-delivering the home advisor. You can go to infousa.com and get a crisscross directory with the names and addresses of the homeowners in your targeted area. If you mail to them, and you should, make sure that you put their name on the address label or when you handwrite the letter address, because if you don't put a name on there, it's a dead giveaway that it's junk mail. So make sure that you're able to get their names. You can mail or hand deliver other marketing that you send to your past clients. You can do door hangers, postcards, do the testimonial drip campaign. You know, when any, like I mentioned earlier, anybody that buys from you in that area, and drip on them with those testimonials. And then the last thing, of course, is you're going to reap the harvest. Plug all of those clients into your reticular activator campaign, your referral rewards program. Gather testimonials and photos after the installation. They then become part of your past client herder farm, and they get plugged into that whole system. Okay, let's go on to page 10, and let's look at the actual pieces for doing the Connect campaign. A few things that I will mention. On letters number 2 and 3, I've put in photos of my kids. This is actually photos of my kids from a number of years back. They're older now. But I started doing it because what I discovered was that my first letter was getting good response, but the second and third letters weren't. In fact, I was losing money on the second and third letters. So the only change that I made was I substituted my kid's photo for my photo and put the headline in a little cartoon bubble, and instantly the response shot up, and the second, third letters became profitable. So I was perfectly happy to exploit my children's photos for financial gain, and you should be too. If you don't have kids, use nieces, nephews, cousins, your friends' kids, and just tweak the copy of the letter to fit that situation. If you don't want to use kids, use some other interesting or humorous photos. And if you go into the shock and awe campaign of the rapid launch, you'll see some ideas of this. So if you don't want to use kids, at least change up the photo a little bit, and I think that's going to help you keep the response rates up. All right, let's go on to the page 11, which is the first letter. And, of course, you're going to really see the similarities between this and the Connect campaign that you did for your past clients. I want to analyze some of the parts here. First of all, this uses the direct response / Dan Kennedy style copywriting, where we've got a headline with an offer. You've got subheads that allow people to skim the letter, because remember, there's two types of people who are going to read every single word, the detailed people, and the impatient people who are going to skim it. So you want to have a double readership path, and that's what those subheads do, is they can read just the subheads and get a really good idea of what you're offering and so forth. So anyway, you got the subheads. You've got benefits throughout the letter. How to get every fourth room free. You are protected by the most outrageous guarantee in the business. If you don't like your new flooring, I'll replace it free. On the next page, you'll enjoy my fun, stress-free, world-class installation system. Get a free lifetime installation warranty. In between those subheads, you've got the free design audit, how they're kept updated throughout the process, the installer professionalism guarantee, and then all of those are benefits, how they're going to benefit by using your service. And then you've got the call to action. You're telling them exactly what you want them to do and when you want them to do it by. An offer with a deadline. And then you've got the PSs at the bottom that restate the offer, restate one or two key benefits, and that is, again, for the skimmers. Some people want to just skip right to the end of the letter and get the bottom line, and so that's why you always put a PS there. Now, going back to the first page, you're going to also see that I begin the letter with a testimonial. About two sentences in, it says, "We recently installed new floors for Greta Jean Gopherhoser, your neighbor over on 557 Acorn Drive. And here's what she had to say about our service," and then you put her testimonial in. Now, if you don't have a previous client in the area, substitute a testimonial from somewhere else and just reword that a little bit. Okay, let's move on to page 13. This is the second notice. Again, you're going to send this out 2 weeks later. Not going to go into everything, all the details here. You'll just see I've got my cute little daughter who's about 8 or 9 in this photo. She's 17 now. My, does time fly? At any rate, restates the offer. All the most of the copy is the same. And then on the back, part of the PS is actually a picture of my family with more cartoon bubbles and injecting some humor and letting them know that I'm a real live flesh and blood human being. I'm a family person just like them. And that's really effective. It turns you from, because people want to do business with people, not with businesses. People want to do business with people. So the more that you can make yourself seem like a real live human being, communicate that, the humor, the relational part of that is so powerful. The other thing that I forgot to mention is in each of these, I recommend putting in testimonials. You know, for relatively low cost, you can do a back-to-back, double-sided sheet of testimonials in a little 10-point type and cram, you know, 15, 20 or more testimonials and put that in behind the letter. Okay, then the final notice, and you'll notice that each of these letters has an escalating sense of urgency. And this is borrowed from the collection business, people who, I've talked about this in the rapid launch, you know, collection companies are trying to get money out of people who don't have any money and who don't like them, and they'll get nothing in return. And they use, you know, first notice, second, final notice. Well, why not use that same sense of urgency building when they do like you, when they do have money, and they are going to get something in return? And I've found that this type of a strategy is very powerful, works very well. Again, there's my son. Gosh, I think he was probably 5 here. He's 13 now. Tremendous response from this one as well. And by the way, you do cute photos like this, and you're going to get people. I can't tell you how many people would talk about how cute my little son was, and oh, they just loved it. So anyway, same letter, basically, not much different. All the elements are there. All right, two things that I added to this, and I'm going to cover these just real quickly, are the five around strategy and the yard sign strategy. You should actually be doing these whether or not you target farm. And the five around strategy is where when an installer finishes a job, he's going to hang door hangers on the five houses surrounding that house, one on either side and the three across the street. And obviously the reason is the odds are that these neighbors have at least a nodding acquaintance with your client, so it's a great testimonial. And I don't recommend using the door hangers with the little hooks. You don't have to spend a lot of money and do that. You can go to go online. I give a website here. There's a ton of them where you can buy the clear plastic bags that are for hanging on doorknobs. And I like them because you can stuff whatever you want in there. You can change the offer. You can test different offers, do promotionals. You can include consumer awareness, hotline info, testimonials, all that stuff right in the hangar. If your salespeople are doing follow-up visits, and they should be to get the referrals, they could also do that the five around. And if they happen to see the neighbors when they drop these off, they can chat with them for a minute, introduce themselves. And then on the next page is the door hanger for you to model. And the big old headline, your neighbor just made a superb decision, and it has a place in there for you to write, you know, your neighbor, you know, Jane Smith at 1234 Jones Street has just made a wise investment in the beauty and value of their home by having us install new flooring. And then it goes into the letter with one of the powerful benefits, which is the no regrets guarantee, an offer for a gift certificate, and then down at the bottom is a place to hand write in the deadline. And that's important. By the way, I recommend using blue ink whenever you're writing on these because they stand out. Next page is the backside of that letter, which is a bunch of testimonials, and then you've got the consumer awareness hotline that they can call. So the consumer awareness hotline, again, you've got the information in the million-dollar Rolodex to go to Automatic Response Technologies. You go there and plug in the promo code, and you can get setup fees cut way down and get a good deal by telling them that you're part of the Jim Armstrong marketing system. The next part is the eavesdrop hotline, and again, in the eighth module of the rapid launch, I talk about how to set up an eavesdrop hotline, where they're going to be able to hear real live recorded testimonials from your clients. Next page is yard signs. I have used yard signs in a couple of different applications, and I tell you, a brightly colored yard sign has traffic stopping visual potential. I've seen it happen. If you take you don't need multicolor lettering and logos. One color on a bright background is all you need. And you can get these pretty inexpensively. Let's see here. The examples are, well, first of all, let me back up. The two colors that show up the best are black on a yellow background and red on a white background. And there's just, no reason to pay a lot of money for multicolors and so forth. The idea is to buy these things cheaply. You can get them for $1.20 to $1.80 each online. Here, you can see here, the sign says, "We just got the flooring of our dreams from Jimbo's Floors, home of the no regrets guarantee. If you aren't happy with the new floors, they'll replace them free." And then the phone number. And that really, if you look at the way that's written, is it's a testimonial from the person who you just did the flooring for. And you're going to stake it out in the front yard, and you can get these little wire stakes. You've seen campaign signs that are put in people's yards. It's just like that. Very brightly colored. You can leave them behind. And you're not out very much money at all, but everybody who drives by is going to see that. And then if you decide to do a couple of signs, you can do the eavesdrop hotline or the warning consumer awareness hotline sign. And what I do is put those side by side, maybe one facing kind of angled facing up the street and the other angled facing down the street. Very powerful visual impact. If you want to test it, stake a couple of signs out in your yard, kind of maybe a few feet apart from each other, tilted at a 45-degree angled, one facing somewhat up the street, the other somewhat down the street, and walk down the street and look at it. And the visual on that is huge. This is going to enable you to, within your farm, become the person that comes to mind when they think of flooring. You know, like we talked about before and I've talked about so much, building name recognition throughout an entire city or region is prohibitively expensive. It takes years to see results, and it does not bring in immediate sales. But if you follow these target farming strategies, you can become the number one top of mind brand name recognized flooring within that farm, and you can do it using direct response. So it's not just getting your name out there, it's bringing in immediate sales as well. So to summarize, if you're hammering the daylights out of your farm, you do the hand-delivered Connect campaign, Home Advisor monthly newsletters, other offers, periodic testimonial drip campaigns on postcards or letters, do the five-around strategy. So now they've been getting all these letters from you, and hey, they get a letter hung on their doorknob that their neighbor just used you. Powerful. The yard signs. Now they've been getting all these things from you, and now they start seeing yard signs pop up around the neighborhood. They're going to want to join the club. A couple other things you can do is park your van with the company name overnight in different spots around the farm. If you've got a nice-looking van with your company name on it, or drive around the neighborhood between 5 and 6 when people are getting home from work. Another thing you can do. Okay, that's covers pretty much everything we're going to go into today. What's going to happen over time, we're going to add more and more things that you can send out to the target farm, more creative pieces that you can send out to them to get noticed and get them coming into your store. Again, use the Home Advisor and all the things that you're already getting to continue to reap the harvest and cultivate and nurture those seeds. Let's go ahead and open it up for discussion. We've covered a ton of information. What I want to open it up to first is questions about the target farming, and then if we can get through those, then we can go ahead and open it up to other questions as well. Anybody have any questions or comments or anything at this point?
Yes, Jim, this is Jerry Johnson with Quality Carpets and Flooring.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, I was just wondering, on the pictures and all, does it matter if those are colored or black and white?
Black and white.
Black and white's okay.
Yep. What I do is I drop them in. You know, you take a photo, get a digital photo, just drop it in. I email it to the printer, and the printers, they print directly from the computer. So it's not photocopied, and it's not, like, printing, like if you do a, like they set up a printing press where you got to do 1,000 or more minimum. This isn't, they, you just email it to them and they just print them up right off the computer, just kind of like you do at your home computer.
Okay.
Yep, no reason to spend money on color.
Jim?
Yes.
Steve D'Angelo here.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, you know what you mentioned, targeting, let's just say the an industry, the medical profession. We do the doctor's house, he's influential, we want to use that. Do you have any ideas on how you would get mailing lists or how you'd identify who all the medical professionals in the community were?
Yeah, go to infousa.com. You're going to want to go to a list broker.
Okay, and you could tell them, you could give them two or three zip codes, and they'll give you those that have participated in that industry in those zip codes.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Easy to do. Anyone else?
Hey, Jim, this is Dave Wadsworth.
Hey, Dave.
How we doing?
Oh, good. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, don't think that because you haven't heard from me, I'm not working. I am. And you know, I've been on, the last call, I got on it like a minute late, apparently, so I didn't identify myself. But
no problem.
But anyway, you know, we're working pretty hard right now and seeing some results. So, a couple things we're doing is determine that there's a condo managers association. I finally learned the secret handshake to get involved, and they invited me to a tabletop night last week. So what I'm doing with target marketing now, I've gotten inside, and it's on a friendly situation with them. So now I'll be doing target marketing to the condo managers, and these are people that represent either, you know, out of area ownership or even the ownership's on premises, but they have a lot of influence. So putting them into our target farming. Also doing a lot of networking. We're kind of doing the old guerrilla marketing right now. We're out there calling on, going to all the leads groups. You know, with the chambers of commerce, we joined two different chambers of commerce. And doing, you know, those kinds of things, and then adding them to our mailing list, you know, to send them the newsletters and so forth, get them involved. So just thought I'd pass that along. Sometimes just good old legwork and shaking people's hands and then start mailing to them is effective as well, getting good feedback from that.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Two things I'll add to that, David. First of all, a book I've mentioned before, by Bob Berg, it's called Endless Referrals, and he goes in. The whole book is about doing just what you're talking about, David. Uh-huh. I'd recommend that to anybody. The other
is the bird with a Y or an I.
It's spelled Bob and then Bert, B-U-R-G.
Oh, G. I'm sorry, I thought you said bird. Okay,
nah, bird.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and. You can get it on Amazon for 10 or 12 bucks. Definitely worth getting. And the other thing is, what the mistake a lot of people, and I know everyone on this call won't do this because you're an Inner Circle Club member, but they'll just go and just, like, exchange business cards and get to know them, and it's very limited effectiveness. It takes a long, it's kind of the networking version of brand name building. Mm-hmm. As you meet these people, obviously collect their information and start mailing to them. Put them on your newsletter, and I'm sure you're going to do this, David. Uh-huh. And, you know, the joint venture module has very creative outside-the-box mailers you can send to them to further establish that relationship. So those are the only two things I'd add, and I'm a big believer in networking.
You know, what you find is when you meet with them on a social setting, all of a sudden your relationship is entirely different.
Yep.
Than knocking on their door. It was amazing the difference in their attitude. Property managers, real estate people. So our networking group has really expanded just by relationships.
That's fantastic.
Uh-huh.
I've been a part of a couple of networking groups. One of them was LaTip, and that worked out real well. Yeah, I agree with you, David. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or feedback of any kind? Don't be shy now. I can't believe I covered the topic so thoroughly. Amazing. Okay, let's open it up to anything. Anybody have any questions about the system, troubleshooting, anything they're having a challenge with or a success, anything?
Jim, this is Michelle with Design West.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey, on the Connect campaign, do you recommend that we hand write the names and addresses on those rather than just simply printing out their name and address and just sticking it on the envelope?
Yeah, I do recommend that you handwrite it. I do.
Okay.
I qualify that by saying if you are going to never get the thing out and it's going to bog you down and you're just never going to get done because of that, then do the address labels, but put no and on any of the Connect stuff. Applies to any time you're doing direct mail. Don't put company info anywhere on the envelope. It's got to look like a personal letter.
So what would you put for the return address? I mean, what would you put in there?
Well, either nothing or because if an envelope is an ounce or less, current postal regulations don't require a return address.
Okay.
Now, for cleaning your list, if you're doing a Connect campaign, if you know you've got a clean list, leave the return address off. If you want to clean your list, then put a return address with no company name, just a street address. That way you get them back. Does that help?
Yeah, thank you.
Have you guys talked to Think Inc. Marketing?
Is Think Inc. Marketing?
Think Inc. Marketing?
No.
All right, I'm going to give you their contact info. Bear with me a moment here. It's in the $1 million resource directory, and their number is, you ready to write?
Yes.
714-841-2041. What they will do is you can literally email them the after you've tweaked the letter, you know, made it so it's yours, you can email it to them. They will handle the printing, the stuffing, and the hand addressing and putting a live stamp on it. Then they'll mail it back to you in a big box so you can mail it from your city so that the stamp cancellation has your town on it and not someplace, you know, down in L.A. So call them, talk to them about pricing, and they can literally handle all that for you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Any other questions? I'm going to hang on for about another minute or two if anybody has any last-minute questions or comments. Okay, everyone, good call. As you put together your target farming in any pieces that you've developed or tweaked, please fax them to me. I want to see them. Take advantage of that. I've already done it with a number of you. And I'll put my comments in there and what I think you can do to make it better and make it as profitable as possible. Okay, everyone, great call, and we will talk to you all soon. Thanks.